He's won IFTAs, he's won BAFTAs, and he is the creator of Mrs. Brown's Boys. Brendan O'Carroll, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Good, you're super.
I'm talking to you from a freaking cold Liverpool.
All right, are you doing live shows over there?
Yeah, we did a live show all weekend, and we kind of scheduled to be here for the European match against Napoli, but we're not talking football.
Apparently we're not allowed, and I don't think a United fan wants to hear about Liverpool against Napoli in the Champions League when we're relegated to Thursday nights.
I know, oh my God.
You're the whole family, you're all Liverpool supporters, aren't you?
Yeah, the whole family are. Well, I mean, I kind of think that's the way it is in your house. You kind of grow up with your dad, whoever your dad supported, you know?
Yeah. But I thought that was true until my now 10-year-old this summer told me he was giving all his Manchester United gear to his younger brother, and he was a Man City fan, and I've had to now go and buy him Man City jerseys, and you can imagine the pain of that.
Well, my eldest son, Danny, who plays Buster,
yeah.
He went through a phase about 12, when there was a lot of Aston Villa players playing for Ireland. And he switched to Villa. So I said, listen, it's no problem, son. I can get you adopted.
All right, so I've approached this wrong from a parenting point of view. I understand now, Brendan.
Why is he still living in your house, Dave? That's what you should be asking. We're delighted that you are in such good health and that you are doing so many shows and keeping so busy because you had a bit of a scare there last year, didn't you?
It was very odd. It was very weird, particularly because, you know, it's one of those ones that when it's after the operation, maybe 2 weeks after the operation, you look back and you go, God, I only realise now how knackered I was.
Mm.
That you don't feel it at the time, it kind of creeps up on you. But it was very, very weird. And what was weird about it was that I went in to get my legs done. And when I woke up, the surgeon said, you know, we found a blockage, a 99% blockage in one of your arteries, so we put a stent in and you're 100% now. And I said, that's great. What about my leg? And he said, I don't do legs. I said, well, what am I doing here? And as it turned out, Dr. Alan Bourne, who's the FAI doctor, had been at a team training camp a couple of weeks previously. And I don't know if you remember when Ryan Tubby did the Late Late Show from London, a live one.
Yes. Mm.
And I was on it as a guest, and he said, I was noticing when you were talking that you were really having a hard job getting your breath. And I said, well, I don't recall having trouble getting my breath. Mm. So that's when he made the phone call and said, listen, Brendan wants to have a look at his legs, but forget about his legs, look at his heart, and thank God he did.
God, so from seeing you and the way you were talking, watching telly, he pretty much saved your life.
He, very, very much. And we were involved in a heart screening, as we are involved in a heart screening thing with the FAI. We're trying to test all kids who play football, schoolboy football, up to under 18, even up as far as under 21. We're trying to screen them all for sudden adult death. There's been a lot of kids just dropping on the pitch. So what we're trying to do is a couple of things. First of all, we're trying to screen as many kids as we can. We hope to screen 10,000 kids over the next 3 years. And then we also want to supply kids, clubs, with CPR training and paddles should they need them. And if we can do that, it means if we can train referees and managers in CPR and how to use the paddles, well then at every game there'll be at least 3 people who'll be able to, because the first 10 minutes in something like that is very, very crucial.
So important, yeah.
We got involved in it because Jenny and I looked at each other and said, these are kids, if we save one life, it'll work.
Mm.
And it did, it saved mine.
Sure did. Which means that you're fighting fit and doing lots of stuff again around Christmas time. You've got two specials coming up on the telly.
Two specials on the telly, Christmas Day and New Year's Day. And of course, the highlight of my every 2 years is when we finish a tour in the Tree Arena in Dublin. It's just fantastic. I can't wait.
Well, isn't it like the best compliment as a comedy maker when you get asked to do those big Christmas specials and New Year specials? Like, you're the go-to show for that period. And I'm sure, you know, over the years when you were watching telly before you started doing all this, you remember there were go-to shows that people would make sure they tune in for and set an appointment. And now you are that appointment.
Absolutely. Mine was Markham and Myers. The Markham and Myers show on Christmas Day was just, you just didn't miss it. So it was a question. When we got the slot for Christmas Day, I said to Jenny and family, I said, I think we're going to get the Markham and Myers slot. If we do this right, we can hang on to this for a long time. And this will be our 8th year this year to be doing Christmas special. So it's a great compliment, but it also gives us an opportunity to keep Mrs. Brown in the public eye without having to do a serious every year. So it's a two-edged sword that works for us.
Yeah. And do you ever get the chance with your busy schedule to kind of take a step back and look at what you've achieved with Mrs. Brown? Because I don't know if you remember, my wife Tracy played Cathy in some of the early runs in Glasgow.
That's
and
right.
Liverpool.
Yeah,
years
Liverpool
ago.
Indeed, yeah.
That's right,
yes.
Yeah. But like,
well too.
Thanks very much. I'll pass it on to her. But you were filling like theatres then, but they were theatres, they weren't arenas, and you didn't have a show on TV. And you didn't have a movie and you didn't have, you know, all these other things that have come along since. Have you had a chance to, like, take any of that in, or are you still just stuck in the snowball of the whole thing?
No, we're very lucky, and we're also very cute, because the perception is that we work extremely hard. Well, the thing is, when we're working, we do work really, really hard.
Yeah.
However, when we're not working, I don't even think about the show. We do.
Right.
I play golf, Jenny plays golf, and we just play golf wherever we can play golf, and we don't even think about the show. And we decided when Eric is now 28, we decided when Eric was about 12 that we would not walk when he was off school, that we would always be off with him. So that's how we designed our year, and it turns out that actually works out at 26 weeks off and 26 weeks on.
Wow.
And we've never changed it. We walk 26 weeks, and we take 26 weeks off, and it has to fit in to the 26 weeks. Look, I'd love to be able to say that we're reeling back, but you know, next year we've got the Encore Tour in the UK, going to arenas that we haven't been to before, like in Blackpool and in Brighton and in Edinburgh, etc. And then the following year, 2021, we've got 5 weeks in Australia, we got a week in Auckland, we got 4 weeks in South Africa, we got 5 weeks in the USA, and we got 4 weeks in Canada.
Wow. So you're planned out for 2022.
Yeah. If you add all them up, it actually doesn't even come to 26 weeks. But if you add the TV stuff onto that, it ends up at 26 weeks.
Right,
so
right.
We're very cute. We make it look like we work really, really hard, but actually we do shag golf.
And how's the golf? What are you playing off these days?
I'm off 16 now. Jenny's doing them remarkably well. She got down from 26 down to 18 in the space of one summer. So it's now a question of...
You are playing a lot of golf.
We are playing an awful lot of golf.
Did I hear...
I know when to beat her and when not to beat her, you know?
I met your daughter Fiona at Metallica in Slane, and she told me that her husband, your son-in-law Martin, is turning professional golf.
Yeah, well, he's turning on the senior tour. He's been... He's one of those kids that could have had an opportunity when he was a lot younger, but didn't, because, you know, we have to work and we have to earn a living. Didn't get an opportunity to go on a golf tour. He was an extremely good golfer. So now that he's a producer of the show, so now that he's got the time and he's got the... He goes over to Portugal maybe 10 weeks a year. I think he's staying there now at the moment. To get himself ready to go on the seniors tour.
Wow.
So it'll be great. It'll be great for him, and it'll be great for the family to have somebody out there playing real golf.
Oh, free lessons. I mean, you must have been delighted when he was presented to you. Hi, this is the new boyfriend. He's a professional golfer. He's a keeper.
I have to tell you, though, I'm surrounded by them. Danny, who, as I say, who plays Buster, Danny plays off 10. Eric, who now directs the show, he's my youngest son, he plays off 6.
Wow.
So, like, we're surrounded by good golfers. We have one van on the road with us that just takes golf clubs.
That's Dermot's dream. That comedy is. And golf, the two things he wants to do forever.
Yeah, you're living my ultimate life.
Come here. We'll go through some of the dates, because you're absolutely killing it. Yeah, you're doing the 13th, 14th, 15th of December in the Three Arena. Is there even another one around then, maybe? There's three of them announced, I think.
And there's two shows on the 14th.
Two shows on the 14th, that's what it is.
We have the four shows there. And then we take a break, and we're back to do record Miss in January to record All Into Mrs. Brown. And then March starts the Encore Tour, where we do Blackpool, Bournemouth, Hull, Sheffield, Edinburgh, and... non-stop, thank God.
I presume you do the Christmas Mrs. Brown stuff in the first 26 weeks of the year, which means you're feeling very Christmassy around May sometime or something. Are they all in the bag for ages?
It's not too bad. We do them in the last 2 weeks of October.
Okay, all right.
Every year. So it gets a little, once it's getting dark early and it's a little bit chilly, it's easier to feel
Christmassy.
There was one year where we did where we were doing Australia at that time, so we had to do the Christmas special in July, and you were on the stage sweating, going, my God, that snow outside would kill you.
If you had to distill, you know, what made you so successful, having, looking back over the last couple of decades, what would you put it down to? Is it resilience? Is it self-belief?
I mean, it's a combination of things, and you know, a lot of it, some of it is accidental, and some of it you work really hard for. Not stopping, that's really, really important. Don't stop. Don't give up. Also, a lesson I learned as I'm getting older and older, sometimes you have to stop looking for it. Just take a break and it'll find you. You know, so patience, I suppose, that's it. And then there's luck. The TV series has been fantastic for us, but as you said, we were filling theatres long before the TV series, and we had the life we wanted. We had a great life. The TV series, don't get me wrong, has made it really, really good, but for 4 years, between BBC, ITV and Channel 4, I was saying no to a TV series. So as it turns out, you know, there you are, I'm making a decision saying no, and eventually I said yes. And things absolutely took off. So it's just, it literally is, put your nose to the grindstone. Keep going. Don't look behind you. There's no point. You're not going that direction. Keep looking forward. And any breaks that come, just take them. Just you know, sometimes, a fellow called Joe Fitz, who managed me years and years ago, Joe said to me, you know, you're going to have a woman come up to you sometime, or a man, or somebody will come up to you at a gig and say, listen, I think you're fantastic, and I work at the London Palladium, and I'd love to see you on there. And you go, oh, that'd be great. And you come away feeling, oh, my God, this is fantastic. And then you find out that she's actually the cleaner in the London Palladium.
She would love to see you there.
Buddy said, you might think of writing that off, but remember this, sometimes the cleaner has a direct route to the boss that other people don't have. Don't write anybody off.
Brendan, there's loads of texts in 087-4100-102. One of them says, can you say thanks to Brendan from Mrs. Brown? My kids love him. They used to watch him when their granny, who passed away Christmas 3 years ago, and they love watching him still. Thanks. There's loads of messages
God
like that.
God bless him. Well, it's very much, it's one of those ones that grannies and grandchildren do talk to each other about and get the same laugh out of it, because it's family-based, you know. It's about a dysfunctional family, which is probably based on my own.
Probably is, in fairness. Everyone's off playing golf. No one's talking to each other. Brendan O'Carroll, best of luck with the live stuff. Finishing up in the Three Arena, as you said, 4 shows there over the middle part of December. And it'd be good to see you around Dublin again.
Great. Well, give my best to Tracy and tell everybody I said hi and thank you, guys, and tell your granny thanks for the chicken.
Actually, why did you get rid of Tracy? Dave's sitting there going, I could be a multi-millionaire by now.
She could be a multi-millionaire by now.
By default.
No, listen, Jenny came back to the job. Tracy's only a stand-in.
Jenny's here and she's here beside me holding my hand.
Oh, she's like, your missus is like the fifth Beatle.
Hold on a second. That's not my hand. Get your hand.
Go on. Thanks so much, Brendan.
Cheers, boys.
All the best. Bye-bye.